Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, are you there?
This is
can you hear me?
It's not like an old phone call. Like, hi, are you there? Are you there? Are you there?
I can't hear you. Yeah, I was trying to make it sound like I just called you, but actually we've been chatting now for about half an hour beforehand. No one needs to know that.
No, well, they do now, so great.
I was going to ask you, what were those... This is a bit random, but what were all those horse things you had as a child? They're all in like plastic tubs under your aunt's house.
You mean those, like the toys?
Yeah, the toys.
What were they called? They were called Grand Champions.
Grand Champions.
Yeah, and you could collect
really?
Them. Yeah, and they were like a replica of the horse, you know, certain different types of horses. Oh, and
that's not what I was thinking of. It was like a whole farmyard. It wasn't just horses.
So you've said horses. So you're very specific there. So I went specific. If you're talking about all those animals, you're talking about the Playmobil.
Oh, that, yeah.
Which is this awesome, cool German toy that was still pretty expensive, but was super expensive when I had it as a kid. And my dad and mum bought it for me. I had some Lego. I wasn't super into Lego at the time, but I had it. And I just loved this Playmobil stuff, which was, you know, it was all animals, you know, and we had a little hospital and we had a little school and all this other stuff, but I just loved it. It was so cool.
But you were still collecting it into your adult years for a while, weren't you? Is that right?
Oh, not my adult years. No, just into my teenage years probably, because when I was a teenager, you know, and I finally started having money from, you know, my job at McDonald's or whatever, there was stuff that came out that I was still pretty interested in. So I was like, this is still pretty cool. So as a teenager, I was still buying stuff, but not as an adult. Although funny that you mention it, because my sister for Christmas last year, as a bit of a spoof joke, actually got me in my stocking, put in my stocking something from Playmobil. And I mean, I was pretty excited, I have to say. It was a bit of a moment. I was like, oh my God, it's Playmobil. Then I realized that I was, you know, mid-30s and probably would never open it. But still, it was a cute present. It was a cute idea.
So you didn't have a little go?
No. Okay. It's actually still wrapped up. But it was a nice idea. It was a cute little nod to the past.
Well, you're going to have to excuse me today. I bit my tongue. So, you know, we've got to talk for about an hour, but I've got like a ulcer thing on the side. Well, I didn't do it on purpose.
Okay.
But you told me to get the, what's that stuff called that you told me to get? The WD-40 to spray on it?
No. Not the WD-40 unless you've got creaky hinges in your tongue, in your mouth. No. SM33 gel.
Other mouth ulcers are available, yeah.
This podcast isn't sponsored by Bayer SM33 gel, but here I am showing you a little photo of it on the camera here that nobody can see at home. But SM33, it's the best thing for ulcers. It stings a little bit when you first put it on, but it's so good.
Is it though? Because I had a little go of it. I bought some at the chemist and I put it on my tongue, but I was worried that I was going to just swallow it away straight away because it's in this really like at the back of my tongue.
Yeah.
So I sort of had to keep it there for like 2 or 3 minutes to make sure it was doing its thing. I had to like stick my tongue out to the side and then I just started dribbling. What I had to do was just for like 3 minutes over my sink, I just had my tongue like stuck out to the side and just drew like I was just amazed by how much dribble was coming out. Like,
Are you I think like Beethoven, I lost about a liter. The dog.
I think you're I like lost a about Saint a liter Bernard. Of fluid.
Firstly, that's really embarrassing, and I'm not sure that you want the world to know that. But anyway, there it is, everybody. Alex dribbles.
Now, yeah.
But I've never had that experience with SM33, and everybody I recommend it to, because you know I love – people love asking me for medical advice despite having none. I have my mother as a, you know, lifelong nurse, and she's been able to tell me everything. SM33, I recommend it to everybody, and actually it doesn't make me dribble, and it is awesome. And so I actually think you have wrongly applied. I think you might have fucked that up actually.
What I recommend to everyone, just if you want to be amazed by your own body, is just to open your mouth over the sink and watch how much dribble comes out, because it's just like, I reckon I could have kept going for hours and hours and, you know, I would have been dehydrated.
Are you generally a slobbery person? No, I don't think of you as a slobbery person. I've never sort of thought, he's got a lot of spit.
But, you know, I just went, that's why they have to have someone at the dentist with the little vacuum cleaner, because of everyone just... The dribble's amazing. I was very impressed.
I mean, I have an amazing dentist, and I have no problem instructing a dental nurse to do their job better. I have been known to grab a dental nurse's hand and move the vacuum cleaner. You know, really? Like move here. Yes, of course. I don't want to drown in my own juices or whatever it is, you know, saliva, and I'm drowning here. You know, I can't speak. Although my dentist does say that I'm the only person he knows that can talk while having his teeth filled. So that probably says something.
Doesn't surprise me.
But I'm always like, move the vacuum cleaner, do your job. You've only got one job right here. That is to, you know, suck up all of this mess, get going. So I will reach up, surprise the dental nurse, and move the vacuum cleaner so I don't drown.
Now, this is exactly, you tune into a podcast about Pop Stars Australia and you get...
This is what you get.
Yeah, this is what you've tuned in for. I guess we should actually get on with it.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's so great listening to you sing along with it as well, because I'm getting you in stereo, because you're the whispery voice over the top, and then I'm getting you singing along with our friend Sis. Oh, I wish I could remember her name. I licensed the samples from this, you know, website.
So whoever she is, but when you get me doing it, it adds a different level of complexity, does it?
Exactly, yeah. Oh, it's so great just to hear it. It's like a fully immersive experience.
We should release it as a single. Perhaps it'll be my first number one.
I'd love that.
All these years later, I've hit the charts, number one.
Yeah. So I guess we should introduce ourselves. So I am I'm Alex, is that
right? And I'm Alexander.
Great. Got it right. Correct. Tick. We've already got something right today. And we're here, of course, talking about, at the moment in podcast Fruity Alexia, we're talking about Pop Stars Australia.
Series one.
The seminal series one, yes. It's probably not the first reality show, but it's certainly the first one that's kind of like wedged into my memory, I think. And we're sort of in the meaty part of it now. Like, it felt like stuff really got real. You know what I mean? Like, we're past the competition side of it, and now it's gone a bit gritty and edgy. And, you know, even in the last episode we talked about on the previous podcast, Sophie sort of has this talk to camera where she gets really upset halfway through and almost like storms out, and she was like, I don't want to talk about this anymore. And, you know, starting to feel like we're getting a real peek inside what was actually happening. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think now it's vaguely starting to resemble, you know, what we know now as reality television a little bit more. Yeah. You're kind of getting that kind of fourth wall broken a little bit better.
Yeah.
I think up to this point it felt really like very much like a docuseries. And it still feels like a docuseries, but it's starting to feel a little more reality-ish.
Dare I say it actually started to get interesting. Like it was fun before, but now it's actually kind of like, oh, right, you are actually getting some really candid moments. And, you know, that sort of stuff survives time a little bit more than the fun does, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's interesting in retrospect. I don't think it's interesting in the same way that, you know, Insight or Q&A is, maybe, but so on, you know. But it's interesting in retrospect, maybe, in terms of you know, just seeing it and actually considering what those people must have been going through at the time and during that time of in particular in pop culture and, you know, media.
Yeah. And we were trying to think as well, speaking of time, the timeline of the show gets a little bit confusing because obviously it was a weekly show, but the jumps in time as to what we're actually seeing. I mean, first of all, I thought you can kind of map it by Michael Napthali's haircuts. It sort of jumps. Like in one scene, it'll be long in this episode, and the next one is really short again and cropped. And
Yeah,
clearly time is passing, but it's sort of hard to work out in the reality of their experience.
Yeah, it's quite strange because in episode 6, which we just spoke about in the last episode of Fruity Alexia, in episode 6, they celebrate Sophie's birthday. So, you know, cool, whatever. Then I went and had a Google and I checked and her birthday is December 14th. So if, you know, episode 6 was, you know, filmed around, you know, mid-December, at some point early in this episode, episode 7, they talk about, you know, Tiffany talks about the girls having been together for 4 weeks already. So I guess let's say that'd be the middle of November that takes it back to when the girls were first sequestered. You know, we know that Chantel was only with them for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel like maybe the auditions that we saw in the earlier episodes of Popstars Series 1, maybe they were filmed sort of October-ish. I'm just presuming. I'm not sure. Then sort of they all kind of came to Sydney and moved in together in like middle of November or something. Then they had Sophie's birthday. Chantel left. Tiffany came in. And then a little bit later, I think in episode 7, I don't know if it's the narrator. I can't remember who it is. Somebody mentions that they've been together for 7 weeks or it's been a crazy 7 weeks or something. And at that point, I'm assuming, you know, within episode 7, there's kind of a jump of the girls have been together for 4 weeks, the girls have been together for 7 weeks. So I'm wondering if that episode's content is sort of spaced out across really encapsulating 3 weeks worth of real time. But in episode 7, they are actually viewing, you know, like maybe episode 2 or 3 together. They're sitting down for a viewing party.
I was going to say, it was weird watching this episode because like in the context of Fruity Alexia, there's now this bit where we are watching them, watching themselves, and they're commenting on what they're seeing on the TV. And then we are then commenting on their comments. And it just got very meta for me.
It was very Inception-y.
Lie down. Yeah.
I've never felt more like Leo DiCaprio or Tom Hardy.
Yeah. Being Michael Napthali.
But yeah, I mean, look, the thing is, you know, They may have been watching tapes back or something that may not have actually been live, but I suspect it if they were already edited and cut to pieces, cut together, I suppose they probably were watching it.
It's funny. I think they're watching content from a few different episodes, so I don't think they're watching it live on TV. It's also during the day.
Okay.
And, yeah, so they watch. I think they've just watched all the episodes in a row during one day off of VHS.
Right, okay. Well, then you know, I think that kind of puts them at a place, you know, because by episode 7, they're talking about the paparazzi chasing them.
Yeah,
the paparazzi
that's right.
are trying to find out who they are and which girls were successful, which means the show's already airing. So, you know, and we find out who the girls are going to be in episode 5.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
That means at least 4 episodes of, or at least 1, 2, 3, or 4 episodes have happened. So I guess if the paparazzi are hounding them, et cetera, you know, it's got to be a couple of weeks into airing. And if it was the lead into the Olympics, we've done a bit of a deduction here, a bit of a sort of an attempt at figuring it out. If the show started airing in April, late April, April 20 or something, that's what, according to the internet, whether it's true or not, I don't know. I guess we're talking about sort of a bit of a time jump from December to May.
Geez, so they're having to keep it all quiet that
for
whole
months
time.
And months and months.
Yeah.
I guess it makes sense. I mean, they've recorded a whole album, video clips and all of this stuff. I suppose there's a whole bunch of stuff and work that's happened in the background. So I don't know. I'm not sure if it's a couple of months or if it's like 5 months that they've been hiding. Sequestering or sequestered together.
Yeah. Before we get too much into it, I should do my little recap.
Hit us with your recap.
Yeah, and also I'm going to hit the sting, the little bit of music, because I think I get a couple of cents every time it plays on the podcast. So.
Okay, great. Love that for you.
Here we go.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Yes.
Right, okay, so after 7 episodes, you've probably got about 64 cents worth.
I think I'd be lucky, yeah. I'd be lucky to have that many cents, I think. I need to look into that, actually. I need to start logging it with APRA. Anyway, that's a whole other – that's my admin. You don't need to know that. You've come here for the wonderful recap. Okay, let me Chantel has left the group and now they have to find a replacement. It's clear we're now in the media storm as the band have to... This is why I don't do voiceovers, because I can't read a full sentence without stopping. It's clear now that we're in the media storm as the band have had to move to a secure apartment out of their luxurious terrace house. And in the new apartment, there's modern furniture and it seems like there's moussaka on tap. But there is also a severe lack of character and homeliness as they sink further into their manufactured lives, waiting to find out who will take over from Chantel as the fifth member.
God, this is a bit grim, isn't it? Your recap's a bit grim. God, you make it sound like it's some sort of episode of American Horror Story or something.
Well, it basically is this one, but, we'll get into that later. So, of course, Tiffany is the surprise guest in the secure penthouse, and not only is she suddenly swept up into the long work days and the media storm, but she's having to stay back to re-record all of Chantel's tracks. And, a lot more goes on, but we'll get into that. And here's 2 more cents into my APRA account.
Alexia.
Okay, so that was great, wasn't it? So obviously this is the one where we find out that Tiffany is led into the band.
Yeah. This is the moment. I mean, this is the moment that we've all been waiting for. When I say we all, I mean you and I and our listeners. I love that this episode starts with Jackie O, Michael Natalie, and Chris Moss in an office somewhere. The narrator says, look, the first challenge is the judges have to find a replacement for Chantel, who has left the group. And it starts with Chris Moss saying, quite bluntly, Chantel had to go. There was no other way around it. She had to go. And, at this point, given that you heard that she was leaving for family reasons in the last episode, for this episode to start like that, you do start to get a bit of a hint with his tone and he's very firm about it, that there was no other alternative. I mean, you start assuming something else has happened. And by the end of the episode, of course, you hear them talking about the press are looking for other reasons why Chantel may have left the group, which is interesting to hear them even say that when they were trying to protect what was the true story anyway, but they themselves were kind of planting the seeds of doubt.
Yeah, and it's hard to know it's so hard to know what actually went down. But
well, it's hard to know then. It's not hard to know now when they've all come out and spoken about it, and we'll talk about that in another episode later down the track. But it definitely, at the time, was... Now you're looking back on it, it was kind of like they were just dangling carrots the whole time, really.
Yeah. It is nice to see in that little chat with Chris and Jackie and Michael at the beginning, though, that they're actually doing some deliberating.
it's not the first time you really see them talk about it. And, it's kind of that first it's really the first interesting bit, isn't it? Where
yeah.
they're sort of analyzing the girls and you're getting a bit better of an opinion of what their like their expertise, their expert opinion. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
True.
Like
yeah.
as opposed to just liking their look or not, it's like no, yes, no, and they're giving a bit more info. What I thought was interesting, you know, Chris Moss starts to talk about Bree Kale.
Yeah.
And, you know, from the beginning, he basically says, you know, she's too theatery, too show-tuny. Her heart yeah. wasn't in it. Chris clearly is not a fan of her as a member of this group anyway. And Jackie O, you know, obviously says, look, you know, yeah, she did say that to me. And I think Michael even says, yeah, she was even telling the girls afterwards that she was, you know, too
yeah,
theatery
that's
for
right.
this, which is really interesting. I mean, we spoke 2 episodes ago on Fruity Alexia about, you know, how Tiffany was when she got the initial rejection and,
yeah.
you know, about how people can be a little more dismissive of not getting a gig and
yeah.
potentially that it's not necessarily the truth, but they just kind of fob it off and they feel
totally.
Better about it. And
I mean, you see it with in every episode from episode one, every time someone leaves an audition, they sort of go, oh, it's because I couldn't dance well enough, you know, oh, they didn't like, I sounded too opera-ish or, you know, whatever their excuse was. But I guess
yeah,
the closer
yeah.
you get to being in the band, the more gracious you have to be about it.
Of course,
but it's still
of course.
The same impulse, isn't it? Yeah,
it is. And you know what I think's interesting yeah. about this initial little bit? You know, then they talk about the other girls that they could possibly bring in. You know, Lee Shorten, Louise Messenger, Jodie Joy, or Tiffany. You know, they talk about how each having the talent, but who will complement the group? And what's interesting about it is, you know, then they all of a sudden snap into a vox pop style sort
oh,
of.
Yeah.
sort of chitty chat with people on the street, you know, so this must be once the show started airing and everybody's got an opinion and it's like, you know, they talk about maybe is Lee Shorten the right person because, you know, that's, you know, blah, 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 blah. And actually she's the only other person they dive into. They don't talk about Jodie Joy and they don't talk about Louise,
yeah,
which is
right.
weird. And then they jump yeah. into this vox pop and it's just the public going, I like Lee, I like Louise, I like
yeah.
Jodie Joy, I like Tiffany, I like Bree. It's the weirdest thing. They literally just go through.
Yeah, it's random, isn't it?
You know, every girl gets a vote from the public.
Yeah, it's not very
it's
well thought
so
through.
Weird. It's terribly
it
done.
It's sort of the first
done.
Inkling we get, though, that the public coming along for the ride now, because it's been
yeah.
so secretive beforehand, and this is the first time we go, oh, okay, it's out and about.
Definitely it's the first time you get a sense for, you know, that sort of media storm, that real kind of whipped up frenzied kind of thing that happened in real life watching
yeah.
the show, where the public, you know, were happy to be stopped in the street and spoken to by a random cameraman with a microphone and give their opinion on a girl's, you know, first name. Oh, Jodie Joy, she's our pick.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of guys are like, oh, we love Tiffany, bro, you know, and they're like, they're
yeah.
sort of just like these really sort of buff sort of guys. They're just like, yeah, we love Tiffany, bro, you know. And it's like, okay, do you actually watch the show or did somebody just stop you and, you know, ask you? But the thing is, at the time, everybody was watching the show.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah,
it was such a big deal.
And it's clear that, you know, something's happening because they get shuffled out of the house that we were talking about last time and they're put into
yeah,
this
yeah.
like penthouse apartment. It must be in the city somewhere.
Penthouse
in
is
Sydney.
A bit of a stretch.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? And you can sort of see the Anzac Bridge in the background. So, yeah, it must be fairly central. And, yeah, as you said, like the penthouse is a bit of a stretch because it's like still twin single rooms.
It's so bizarre. Like, you know, you would think for the exposure they would have – I mean, they already had a deal obviously to do the auditions in – what did I say it was? A Macua in the first episode? I mean, you'd think
oh,
they could
right,
have
yeah.
just got to meet your room at a Macua. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
or,
exactly.
I mean, these days, of course, there would be product placement. It would all be schmick. The girls would have a great spot to live by themselves. But instead, they're being chucked in together in these single beds in these
yeah.
weird rooms. And, you know, it's obviously exciting and glamorous for them and maybe a bit of an improvement on the, you know, battered old terrace house that they were staying in with whoever lived there originally, whose
yeah.
furniture was all in there. But it's weird, you know, so I think Sophie talks about, oh, it's quite spacious, and Sally kind of is like, look, it's got one of those phones where you can see people on it, and, you know,
yeah,
it's obviously
so exciting.
Quite exciting for them.
Yeah, but at the same time, Katie spots that they can't open the wardrobe.
She's furious,
the bed's
isn't
like
she?
Parked next to it. Yeah.
Yeah, Katie's like, come and let me show you this. And she's like, follow me. And then she takes
yeah.
the camera crew into one of the bedrooms and the beds have kind of been butted up against the wardrobe so you can barely open them. And I love that this is such a huge plot point for this episode. It's such a huge, huge deal. And they're kind of,
yeah.
you know, Michael, they all sit out talking around the table. Michael, what are we going to do about the wardrobe? You know, the wardrobe situation, you know, how do you expect girls to get in and out of the wardrobe? And Belinda just sort of springs up out of her chair and she goes, hang on, let me go and take another look. And, you know, here we go with mature, practical, sensible Belinda is kind of the tone we're getting of her, about her. And in she goes and she kind of has a couple of looks and she's like, wait, what about this, this, done, bam, bam. They move some furniture around. Perfect. Done.
Yeah.
Solution found. And I was thinking, now that we know in real life that Belinda has gone off to Singapore and or wherever she's living now, and she's actually an interior designer, I was thinking maybe this was early on, you know, a demonstration of her future skill.
It's the transferable skills, isn't it? You know,
totally.
Things you learn in being a pop star, you can take into the interior
design.
That's
right. That's right. That's what she can take away from this experience. And, you know, just a side note, the other thing I was thinking about how cheap and povvy the accommodation situation was for them all. I love that in the scene where they're sitting around the table talking about, you know, Michael, what are we going to do about the, you know, about the wardrobes? There's actually a bunch of flowers sitting on the table and, you know, flowers are expensive. They're fresh flowers. It's a big bunch. And I was like, they've probably spent more money on that bunch of flowers than they did on the actual room.
Yeah. I reckon the camera crew have brought that in because, you know, it's, you know, they're saying it looks great and, you know, their reviews and an entry phone and stuff. But I've stayed in those serviced accommodation places before and they're actually just so soulless. And like it's there was an artwork hanging on the wall.
I don't think what we can call this, any of that 99? Artwork.
Well, it's the same artwork that, you know, I've stayed in these places and it's still the same artwork hanging on the wall like 15, 20 years later. And like all the countertops are the same and it just actually made me a bit depressed seeing it.
That's true. You know, they may have, you know, gone race down to reception. We need to borrow this vase of flowers and jazz up this apartment because we're about to film in it.
It looks shit. Yeah.
It looks like crap.
It looks so dead so and funny. Soulless. Yeah. Yeah. So clearly, I mean, the next big thing is Tiffany gets let into the group. And
she does. And Jackie O. Oh, sorry, you go. You say it.
No,
I know
you
that you really want to. I know that you really want to. Jackie O. So the way we find out they've chosen Tiffany, you know, they do this really quick little snippet at the beginning where they talk about, you know, Bree and they talk about Louise and Jodie Joy and Lee. They do this little vox pop. And then the narrator comes over and just says, Jackie O has been given the task of letting the successful girl know that she's in the band. And next minute, you just see Jackie O walking through an empty breakfast buffet room at the Hilton, tapping Tiffany on the shoulder. And Tiffany's like, oh, my God, thank you, or whatever. And that's kind of all the fanfare there is. That's it. Bam, done. Yeah, that's it.
It's so like random, isn't it?
We missed out. They missed out. The brand, you know, the producers, all of that. They missed out on such a huge suspense opportunity there. Like, Such a huge cliffhanger opportunity. What a fucking fuck up. I mean, they let us know at the beginning of the episode. What a stupid way to do it.
And I actually thought as well, now that Jackie has told Tiffany she's in the band, what is Jackie O's role for the rest of the series?
Well, literally nothing except that, I suppose, young woman in entertainment and media, you know, I guess she's somewhat of not a mentor, but maybe like a big sister kind of mentor in a way, even though she's probably the same age as them all herself. But, yeah, I was thinking the same thing, you know, poor Jackie O, you know, she thought she's off the hook and then Chantel quits and she gets dragged back into Warner Music to pick a replacement. She's like, I thought I was done with this bullshit, but then she gets dragged back in. I did think when she was sitting around the table, Jackie O, talking about the different people, I thought she looked fabulous. I thought her hair looked really, really good. She had this really great sort of back-combed, quite bouffant sort of hair. And I was like, yeah, that's fabulous, Jackie O. That's great. Let's go with that.
It just feels like she just rolls out of bed looking like that.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Jackie O, if no you're listening, effort. What is your secret?
Yeah. Just runs a comb through her hair once and suddenly she's ready for national TV. Yeah.
Maybe she's born with it. Maybe she's just Jackie O.
Yeah. I think I'd need about 5 days under a knife before I was ready.
And your tongue in your mouth without any drool.
Yeah, yeah.
Wonder if Jackie O drools. What do you think?
Oh, everyone does at some point.
Maybe we should get her on the show and ask her. Jackie O, do you drool?
Anyway, we're glad she's
You love that. You're literally thinking about Jackie O drooling.
Yeah. So it's really, I'm trying to segue into our next point.
You're not
going
to be able to segue. Just say it. You're not a natural born segueer, but that's all right. Go.
But yes. I do love a clunky segue. It
well,
gives me
we've
joy.
We've certainly so achieved that.
Here we go. Yeah. So drivel.
Drivel. Okay. Yep.
Nothing makes me dribble more than a Volkswagen Beetle.
Oh, that's such a shit segue. God, people are going to be listening to this thinking, fuck, what have I listened to?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So the VW moment, you know, this is one thing that everyone remembers about this series, you know, in hindsight. Volkswagen brought out, you know, a rebrand of the original Beetle in 2000, and they were in bright colors and metallic colors, and, you know, it was really kind of fabulous and fun. And, you know, in this episode, all the girls get given one, and the narrator has this weird voiceover, and he goes, "One car each and only for a strictly limited time." It's like, why? What a weird voiceover to even say.
Yeah.
It's so like, strange. Like,
they've clearly been sponsored or something by Volkswagen, and then he's sort of undermining it by going, well, they're not giving them the cars. They're lending them the cars so that they can be shown on national TV is the subtext of that.
It's so weird. And do you know what I think about this? You know, now, of course, anybody listening may or may not know this. I don't know. But, you know, at the time, people were being lent cars and, you know, celebrities and media personalities were being lent cars. But, you know, it was a big deal that, you know, I guess a girl band were going to get five girls were going to get five cars to drive around, and they were brand new. It was a great marketing opportunity for Volkswagen. You know, they were a cool, hip car at the time. But really, like today, a car sponsorship is a dime a dozen. I mean, if you have a look at, I say this with great personal first-hand experience of a whole bunch of friends. I mean, if you have 12 followers on Instagram, you can potentially get a, you know, car sponsorship. I mean, somebody will loan you a, well, not 12 followers, but, you know, you could have even, I mean,
there I've got 14, of, I think. Can I?
there are a bunch of people I know. There are a bunch of girls particularly who have bought their followers from like chatbots and robots and stuff on Instagram. They've bought their followers and they get limited, you know, relationships with car companies.
They drive around
in these fabulous cars that they could not otherwise afford. Then they have to give them back.
Yeah.
And, you know, they post photos on the Instagram and all that kind of thing. Their followers aren't even real. They're driving a car they could never afford. It's a complete farce. The whole concept of it is absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, I'm jealous though.
No, if you're a car company listening, you know, it needs to make sense. But when you've got some basic white girl, you know, from the suburbs who's kind of faking it, you know, till she makes it. She's driving around in like some fabulous, you know, $150,000 car. Nah, don't buy that for a fucking second. What a load of bullshit.
I reckon but I could probably get a little Honda scooter or something. Like a 125cc little thing.
I don't even know what that means, but yeah, you could get a little thing, little scooter.
Oh, great.
Maybe you could drive, maybe, was it a Honda? Was that what you said?
Yeah.
Maybe Honda could sponsor you now that this podcast is going to blow up, and maybe they could sponsor you with like a hot pink Fruity Alexia branded, Honda, whatever that thing was.
Honda, if you're listening.
But look,
other
all
scooters
I'm telling
are
you is,
available.
All I'm telling you is it's not hard to get it. Plenty of these people get them.
So anyway, they're in their Volkswagens and clearly someone's like tipped off Triple J. And
yes, I mean, probably Volkswagen.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Probably Volkswagen. Probably VW or pop stars. Probably Channel 7, you know. There's Triple J have basically done a competition to say, spot the girls in those cars and, you know, let us know where they are. Driving around Sydney, I mean, the girls have had the cars for a hot second.
Yeah, it's clearly not the most discreet car, you know, a pastel sort of Volkswagen Beetle.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I remember, and I were talking about this last week, you know, because you'd watched ahead and I hadn't actually watched this far yet. And you had said to me, you know, oh, I saw the car thing. And I was like, yeah, I think I remember the car colors. And you were like, do you really? Tell me. And now I have to say, when I rewatched it for the first time in 20 years, I was right. Was I right? Let the record show that I remembered the ridiculous car colors. And you said to me, do you remember what color they all got? And you asked what color Sophie got. And I said she got the light green one.
Yeah.
Which she got.
Doesn't she end up in the yellow, though?
Now that I've said that, I have no fucking clue. To be honest, I can't even fucking remember what I was saying. Oh, yeah,
she swaps.
Isn't she the one, like,
I'm the only one with the sunroof, and I got it because I can drive a manual. I think.
That's right, because she says Sally and I are the only ones that can drive a manual.
Yeah,
I can't remember. What did I say in the end? Oh, no, I can't remember. It doesn't matter. Whatever.
We'll have to go back if we can.
We will.
Actually, I can't be bothered. Let's just pretend you got it right. Congratulations.
Thanks.
I mean, clearly, like, they're not very discreet cars and they're getting papped, so the cars get taken away from them pretty much straight away. And then the next scene we see is a voiceover going, "The girls will eventually get the cars back, and in the meantime, management has taken control of the situation." And then there's a shot of Michael Napthalai pulling up in one of the cars, just looking a bit confused about why he's being filmed.
So
they're clearly
weird.
Taking the piss out of him. Yeah.
It's so weird. Funny. He just sort of appears, grabs his little briefcase, and off he trots.
And then they're looking through, they're back up in the apartment, and they're looking through the newspapers to try and find themselves, I think. And that, you know, Katie says something like, "Oh, we're affecting the stock markets."
Yeah.
And then she's also reading out, there's some guy from the University of Queensland who's like an academic. Yeah.
Professor Graham something or other.
And they're taking the piss out of him. And he says something like in the paper, "They're not well known because of what they've done. They're well known because they're well known." Which, you know, I think that guy, when Paris Hilton hit the scene, would have probably had a nervous breakdown. Then the Kardashians probably killed him.
it's such a weird thing, because it's not entirely untrue at this point. But, I mean, it's not like these girls were – I mean, they're not famous for who they are. Like, they're famous because at this point they're singers, right? I mean, let's be real. Yeah. They're singers. They've got a talent. It's not like they're – sure, they're on a reality show, but, I mean, if you took the show away from it and they were all successful auditioning for a band, nobody would have an opinion on it. But because it was all filmed, I mean, it means that what, they're not talented? Nah, bullshit. I call bullshit. I mean, it's not like they're a nobody socialites, you know, five nobody socialites who come together to make a band and pretend that they can sing. They legitimately are five singers. Some of them have been working as singers or training as singers or dancers or performers for 15 years since they were little kids, you know, or 16 years. So it's kind of like, actually, I think you're actually wrong on these guys. Sure, fine, have an opinion on certain people and have your, you know, your social, you know, your opinion on society and, you know, pop culture and why these people are famous. But, babe, you know, Professor Graham, whoever you are, babe, you know, Andy Warhol did it 30 years before you. In the future, everybody will be famous for 15 minutes. And that's your fucking 15 minutes of fame, Professor Graham, came from ragging on our friends in Butto. And that's what I have to say on the matter.
Yeah. I've had to write like quick news article-y things beforehand, and sometimes because you just need like a diversity of opinion, and sometimes you just have to go, okay, let's find an academic with a contrary opinion and get them to say a quote, and then I can move on to the next thing.
What do you mean find an academic with a contrary opinion? Literally every academic has a contrary opinion. I mean, none of them are conventional, and none of them have an opinion that actually, you know, relates back to the broader public as general at large, you know? Yeah. I've only ever known combative academics. And for those of you academics listening out there that this is enraging, case in point, combative.
Isn't one of your best friends is an academic anyway?
Yeah, and she is that academic, and she's fabulous, and she's brilliant, and she's genius. Yeah. Combative.
Yeah. All right.
not really, but on certain things.
They also go on to there's like this whole bit where they're trying on clothes.
Oh.
Yeah.
This bit pissed me off so much. It really did, annoyed me so much. So like they're like, oh, Chris Moss kind of gathers them all in like the Warner Music office or something. And he says something to the effect of, you know, we've got three objectives. We need to shoot an album cover, get a feel for the stage and, you know, make a plan about your publicity. Yeah. And, you know, we need all of you to have a distinct personal look that, you know, that can kind of be replicated on stage and off stage and all that kind of thing. Clearly this is what they're talking, you know, what they're talking about is kind of replicating like a Spice Girls vibe where each of the girls has a different aesthetic and has a different kind of shtick, I guess. And so we see all the girls kind of dropped into this, some kind of, I don't know, fashion distributor or whatever. I can see there's a Zimmerman sign in the background. You know, it looks like a fashion distributor rather than actually one brand. And, you know, Sophie's the first cab off the rank and she's trying on some clothes. She's in this sort of awful glittery pink halter neck dress.
And can I just say, you know how these days you're not meant to assign, you know, a gender to a job title? This was definitely a cameraman in this scene.
It definitely was a cameraman, 100%.
He had a wandering lens. Yeah.
He sure did. He did have a wandering lens. And, you know, poor thing. I mean, she just is such a cruisy person.
But
the whole like sitting there, she's sort of holding it up, you know, holding this underarm sort of up, you know, kind of protecting her modesty, I guess, as she's trying this thing on. And, you know, one of the fashion distributor people or whatever is kind of like, oh, you know, do you feel comfortable in that? Do you think you could dance in that? And Sophie sort of says, you know, oh, well, maybe not dancing or something like that anyway. Mm. And the woman says to her, oh, are you worried that things are going to jiggle? Can you imagine speaking to a 19-year-old woman on national television about her breasts jiggling today?
Yeah.
Imagine. I mean, it is so outrageous. Now, I know these conversations happen with stylists and fashion brands in real life, and I understand that that's a sort of a perfectly general kind of comment to make in that environment.
Yeah.
Privately. But to publicize, oh, you're worried things are going to jiggle to a 19-year-old woman, it is outrageous.
I know, absolutely on national outrageous. TV, yeah.
Just, I couldn't get over it. It's just so fucking awful.
I know. But and, I mean, bless Sophie, she's so positive about everything.
She is. Yeah. She's just like, sure, okay. You know, oh, I like this dress. I mean, all the things they put her in were so fucking awful. But at this point, you know, they're putting her in everything pink and you can get the idea here, okay, they're doing a Baby Spice situation.
Right, yeah.
That's
yeah.
kind of the vibe you're getting, like, okay, it's a bit of a Baby Spice situation. It's all pink and girly. She's blonde.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And Belinda always seems to be in these, like, one-shouldered sort of
Oh, Belinda.
Things.
Yeah. Oh, she's – yeah, she's got beautiful collarbones, beautiful shoulders. I presume right. that's the reason. I gather that's what they've sort of gone, oh, well, these are the best assets. Let's feature these, you know.
Right, yeah.
And it's also that I think they keep referring – I don't know if it's in this episode. I think it is, or maybe it was a previous one where they talk about like the disco look.
Oh, is that what it
and
is?
And she talks about how she loves it. She'd love this look with a diamante belt or something. And I guess there was that kind of time, you know, in the, you know, 99, 2000, where, you know, brands like Westco were cool again and, you know, everything, all of your hipster jeans had like, you know, diamante studded pockets and your, you know, diamante right, yeah. zippers and diamante tops and one-shouldered things. And there was kind of this like disco-y resurgence at the time, which was a very Belinda look, obviously, because that's what they kept cramming the girl into. And, you know, I love that they obviously do that. They put her in that one shoulder and it's a thing that sticks because she ends up being in a lot of one shoulder stuff later. But they also do Sally in this like flag printed bra. It looks like an American yeah. flag, doesn't it? Not an Australian.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yeah.
And then like a random. Denim jacket with low slung hipster jeans, which are so 2000s. And she loves them. She's like, oh, I love the jeans.
She does love the jeans. I want them in every size, please. Yeah.
Yeah, she loves the jeans and they're really cute. And the whole outfit's fine, but she's like, I'm not comfortable showing this much skin. And she even goes as far as to explain, you know, I've got this out, this out, this out. It's like a little denim pair of booty shorts. And she's pretty clear and vocal that she's not comfortable wearing these things, but that does not seem to deter anybody from continually pushing her in these things. And there's one time where they put her in, I think from memory, it's like a red peasant blouse that potentially could be up on the shoulder or off the shoulder. And the stylist is kind of tucking in her bra strap. Tucking in Sally's bra strap underneath her top, saying, look, I think it's better that we hide the bra strap because it looks a little bit tarty otherwise. But then next minute, there's a photo of the thing the peasant top pulled down around her arms and a bra strap's on show. It's like this poor girl, you know, she's been pretty clear she doesn't feel comfortable doing this, but you're doing it anyway. And you've already told her she's going to look tarty if her bra straps are on show. I don't know. It's a really weird, uncomfortable thing to watch now.
And she
in
takes
hindsight.
It up with Chris Moss as well. And he's sort of there, sort of rationalizing. He's there, rationalizing it. And she's again, still pretty clear she doesn't want to do it. But he's making it pretty clear that it has to be done, I think.
Yeah. I mean, he sort of says something to the effect of, you know, whatever you are now, you know, whatever your personality or look is now, you have to take it, you know, whatever you're comfortable with, you have to push beyond that and take it further, even further than you think you need to take it, whatever he's kind of said. I am paraphrasing there. But, you know, and we know we're not stupid. You know, even then we knew that, you know, pop stars and, you know, celebrities are kind of dressed by other people and they're controlled by record labels and all that sort of stuff. But I guess, you know, watching it at the time, it probably felt quite exciting and glamorous to be witnessing kind of this, you know, behind the scenes fashion-y moment. But realistically, if you think back on it now, you know, it's so gross.
Yeah.
It's very happens.
Objectifying and stuff.
Objectifying. Yeah. I'm sure it still happens. You know, I do think potentially, you know, and maybe I'm being naive here, but potentially young pop artists have a little bit more of a say these days. Like I can't imagine Taylor Swift or Ariana Grande being forced to do and wear certain things. Maybe they are, for all I know, but I can't imagine them.
Yeah.
You know, they seem
to
be
to know,
in control of their look and their wardrobe. Maybe I'm wrong.
I reckon it's probably different if you've come up as like a singer-songwriter and you've built your own career to where it is, whereas if you've auditioned for something, like it's like auditioning for a play or a musical or something. You know, someone else is picking your outfit and telling you what to say and sing. And
yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, and that's the other thing about this. I guess that's the other thing to consider. You know, pop stars, they were casting characters. They were casting roles. You know, that's the reality of it. You know, they wanted five distinct looks. And I'm sure they already had in their mind, you know, this blueprint of the kind of looks they wanted for everybody, I guess.
What I do love is that straight after this scene, and there's just this little snippet of Jackie O and Belinda wandering through the car park.
So
and
strange.
Jackie O's asking them what they want to call the band.
Have you thought of a name for the band yet?
Yeah. And she has, what are her ideas again?
Jackie O's like, have you thought of a name for the band yet? And Belinda goes, oh, yeah, I really liked Kismet.
Dreadful.
And I really liked, some of the girls really like Supernova or Frock.
Frock, yeah. Oh, can you Frock imagine? Just sounds too much like an expletive. Like
Frock.
Oh, Frock. Oh, frockin' hell.
You know, number one on the RA charts this week, it's Frock with Poison. Yeah. I mean, no. I mean, number one on the RA charts this week, it's Supernova with Poison. I mean, that's kind of cute, Supernova. That kind of would work. But obviously we know that doesn't happen.
No.
I remember there being a bit of argy-bargy about the name, so maybe the next episode is when that happens. I'm not sure, but I remember back in the day that one of the girl goes, what if we call it Bardot after Bridget Bardot or something? I think that's how it happens. I think it's Sophie, but I can't quite remember.
Yeah, it must be coming up soon, I think. Mm. Yeah. And then, of course, we see them recording some more music, and there's this great bit.
Yeah.
Speaking of Belinda, she's sort of doing the whispering bit, don't give empty reasons, baby. I don't want your lies.
Yeah.
And she can tell she's just hating herself while she's doing it and feels like embarrassed.
She makes this comment. You know, she's like, I'm sorry, I can't do it. It's too naff.
Yeah.
And it just comes back to her practicality, and it reminds me of that previous episode where she's the one, clearly the sacrificial, you know, spokesperson of the group who makes the sort of, you know, soundbite to camera about Chantel leaving. She just can't do anything that's naff and cheesy. She will do what she has to do professionally. The end.
So, of course, Sally steps in and she nails it in one take, it seems.
Totally nails it.
And the producer, Michael Zemowski, sort of turns around to the group, but pointing it at Belinda clearly going, see, it can be done.
Yeah.
And Sally kind of goes, guess I'm the official talker of the group then.
But I love also, you know, it's so funny seeing that moment because, you know how in pop songs, like, you know, there are bits that everybody remembers. It's usually trills and riffs and whispered spoken words and things that people remember so, so clearly. And it is that, you know, don't give empty reasons, baby. You know, that whole thing is such an iconic moment in that song. And then at the end of it, we know that Katie has that like, bit that's added to the top of it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so good. That's the bit that everyone kind of is like, yes. And if you hear it back now, you're like, oh, my God, here it comes, here it comes.
Yeah, it's interesting hearing it like before all the layers are added because you sort of want to sing them in. And,
you know. Totally, totally. It's weird hearing the song without every other, you know, layer and bits and pieces added. It's quite fun, actually.
And speaking of layering in, Jesus, I mean, Tiffany, she looks like a deer in the headlights because basically they brought her in.
Yeah.
And she's now having to replace all the tracks that Chantel had put down. And so, like, she's literally, I guess she's doing the 15-hour days with everyone else and then staying back and recording even more afterwards. So I don't know when she's sleeping.
Probably not at all. I mean, I really feel for Tiffany at this point because, you know, she's come into a dynamic that's already existing. Fair enough, it's only been a few weeks potentially. I think she says it's been 4 weeks. That girls have been together before she arrived. But certainly she comes in and she's clearly got to re-record all of the tracks that Chantel's already recorded in the various different layers and pieces that she's got to do. And potentially, you know, because it's a different voice, maybe some of the other girls have had to do little bits and pieces as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, Tiffany is probably being put through this incredibly punishing schedule, I imagine, much more than the girls at this point.
Yeah. And there's this bit, Tiffany Cam thing they do, and she's speaking really truthfully to the camera, and it's almost a bit like what, you know, what eventually becomes the Big Brother diary room sort of thing. But she's being really, it's really kind of a bit she's really vulnerable or something. Like in Big Brother, they're clearly going in there to game the system and manipulate the viewers, and whereas Tiffany, it just seems like she needed an outlet to get her thoughts onto camera. And it does, she says something that was a bit chilling. It's like, sometimes you just want to run away. I'm not sure if that sounds selfish or not, but sometimes you just do, because you miss the people that you love. And it's like watching one of those, you know, self-taped auditions for like someone who went on to win the Oscar later on.
It is.
You just see them in their own room filming.
Yeah. It's like an audition video. It feels like, you know, when you look back at like big stars, you know, before they were famous moments. And it's like, it is kind of, I don't know if it's, would I call it chilling? I don't know. It's certainly raw, you know, Tiffany looking down the camera and you're like, you know, it's all branded up like Tiffany Cam, you know, obviously they're trying to really lean into this, you know, new millennium techno thing. And you know, she talks about, you know, wanting to run away. And obviously this is a few weeks into it. But, you know, she's clearly got great self-awareness. Maybe that comes from being, you know, 23 or whatever, that rather than, you know, younger. But she's clearly got a great self-awareness, and taking being sequestered is taking its toll on them all. And the punishing work schedule is taking its toll. And, you know, interestingly, she's from Sydney and she talks about missing her family and friends. So, or you know, people who are close to her. So you imagine that her schedule must be so intense that she hasn't even got time to sort of, you know, make calls or visit anybody.
Yeah.
I kind of feel for her, really. I think she really had a hard slog. And I actually think maybe in the eyes of the public, maybe she even had a lot to prove. Which is not really fair, because we were no more or less familiar with her than we were with any of the other girls who were in the group.
It's true. And she even makes a little comment, doesn't she, about, oh, I hope I don't come across as shallow on TV.
Yeah, didn't she say sometimes, like, I might come across as shallow? Didn't she say something like that?
Yeah.
No, I thought it was interesting. And, I mean, I guess she comes across as confident, that's for sure. And you know, I think we've spoken in the past, like, she came across as cocky in some of the interviews. Or maybe it was the champagne moment where she says, oh, thanks, I'm coming back tomorrow. Yeah, I drank six glasses of champagne. It's a little bit cocky, but maybe that's what she means. You know, where
she's
talking
missing
about
her friend's
off.
Champagne and Bacardi. That's the friend she's talking about.
You know, I think she's probably just really feeling it.
Yeah, but, you know, of course she goes on to do a stellar job. So.
She does. And, you know, the thing I was thinking, you know, at this point, you know, I think there's a bit with Sally speaks to the camera and says, you know, we did ask if we could keep it as a four-person group, but no, look, we were told they wanted five. And I guess that's the record label wanting to, you know, emulate the Spice Girls or whoever else that they sort of had in their mind.
But also they'd have to re-record everything they'd already done with the harmonies
exactly.
if they wanted to go down to four, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, the other thing too is you know, and we can talk about this later and on another episode. But I mean, you need those five girls together. Made it, you know, truly made it. I mean, I think maybe, you know, the other odd ones would have been fine too that got rejected early on. But I mean, that you needed the five of them. And I think it is such a fucking shame that Katie left when she left.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that more later. But I think the five of them together, Tiffany was the right choice from the very beginning. Cha-ching for you.
Cha-ching, yeah, cha-ching. 0.5 more cents for me. Sometimes when we're doing this, I do have to think, you know, a bit self-reflectively and go, oh, you know, I've got like my master's in journalism and communication.
Good on
and
you.
Here I am. Here I am dissecting a show that's 20 years old about pop culture, you know, which is fine. You know, it's an interest anyway. But then also, you know, there's a journalistic kind of saying, which is like an inch wide and a mile deep, and that's where you just pick one topic and you just mine it and mine it and mine it, and because actually that's more interesting than being like broad or vague or anything like that, I think. So, you know, I'm back on board with myself here going, yeah, this is all my – I'm using all my skills. I'm writing little bits of music. I'm editing the podcast. You know,
I mean, I think it's great to have – firstly, it's great to have a master's in journalism. Good on you. you know, I love that for you. But I also think, you know, there's a lot to be said for, you know, doing something that you enjoy just for the sake of – because you enjoy it. You know, and something like this, you know, doing this podcast regardless of your master's in journalism, which, by the way, dear listeners, I do not have just a side note on that. Alex, with all of his degrees, you've got like three and a master's, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got none and no masters. Okay. So that's okay.
Well, two of them are grad dips. So, yeah.
I don't know what that is because I didn't go to university. Okay, but love that for you. Love all those grad dips, all the masters, all the things. I have none of them. But I do think, you know, if you are interested in something or you like something, there's always that potential that other people will too. And, you know, I think anytime you can kind of get together, chitty chat and have fun with somebody and talk about something that, you know, you've got great affection for, I think it's actually a good thing. And actually it probably would be good for a lot more academics to actually take a chill pill, relax, and actually do something a bit more lighthearted and apply a little bit of humor.
Is this aimed at your friend again?
Levity? No, not aimed at her. No, she's great. She's great. She could be chilled and relaxed, but it's aimed at that bloke who wrote that article about pop stars in 2000.
Yeah, gotcha.
Actually, can you imagine being a female academic amongst male that male academia sort of
space? I mean, this is a massive topic that I don't know if I'm qualified to chat about.
I'm not qualified to talk about it either. Look, if anyone's qualified, I mean, you are. You've got your three whatevers and your one master's. So if anyone's going to have an opinion, you can. But fuck it, I don't care if we're qualified or not. That's all right. We're not qualified to talk about anything. Bullshit. Yeah. But it is bullshit. It's fine. We can say this. I reckon there are a lot of, you know, male academics that are unwelcoming to female academics. That's my thought. Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm just going to go out and throw that out there.
Oh, look, I'd say so. And, you know, I'm sure there's been, you know, thousands and thousands of years of oppression that we're all still in the process of working through.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. What totally. I think is, as a comedy podcast, maybe now is not the time to mine this.
I don't know. You never know. But somebody listening could be the right person who gives an opinion on this.
Maybe let's stick with commenting on music and on outfit choices, I think.
Yeah, well, whatever. I've got an opinion on everything. But you know what? You should let us know your opinion because we have an Instagram. So you can send us a DM and you can hobnob us alike.
Yeah, you can.
Hobnob us alike.
Well done for reading out the script verbatim.
Also, by the way, that is how you do a segue.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was so fucking good. Even I was impressed with myself.
Yeah, I'll have to listen back a couple of times and take some notes.
That's why I'm the pro, babe. That's why
there
I'm
you
the
go.
Pro.
You should do your PhD in segues. Anyway, you can also send us some cash, which can go on to fund some academic writing from Alexander. Yeah, now we're publishing shows pretty much every Friday and Tuesdays. We were talking about having a mid-season break. So we'll see what becomes of that.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see if we're going to have a mid-season break or not. At the moment, I have to say I am absolutely loving Popstars and I'm so excited to keep going. I really want to keep watching. I'm just so excited.
But, you know, you don't want to kill the goose that lays the golden eggs too soon, you know. We've got to stretch this out. You know, milk it for all it's worth.
So far, only you are getting golden eggs laid in the form of your 33 cents per sting or whatever it is that you're getting paid. So far, no golden eggs have been laid in my lap, but that's okay. Okay.
Well, that raises a good point that you can send us a little contribution in our Acast support page in the link of this podcast description.
And, you know, also, you know, there's the option for us, you know, in the future to have some merch as we talked about before.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Now, my elbows are a little dry. Do you have anything you could recommend?
Funny you should mention it. Here's something I prepared earlier. Have you tried new Bellbows?
I haven't. What's a Bellbow?
Well, a Bellbow is a chapstick for your elbow, and it comes in XYZ. Great flavors.
Yeah. But isn't a chapstick too small for my elbow? Won't it only last for 1 to 3 applications?
Ah, foolish man. You're quite wrong. Quite wrong indeed. Please find here before you. No, but, you know, Exhibit A, although I don't have it here.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, there is money to be made out of our Bellbows.
There is, yeah.
And so who knew out of your dry, crusty, haggard, Sydney-ravaged elbows?
Crusty. They're just a bit leathery. They're not crusty.
Your leathery, Sydney-ravaged elbows.
Yeah.
We were going to come up with something so brilliant as the Bellbow.
I know. Yeah. Well, we can't top that.
The Bellbow's chapstick. I don't know. We really can't.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to actually getting these into production.
Yeah. I'm working on it.
So maybe we should run away now and look into some how to cheaply import something that's not going to give people any rashes or have a reaction, you know. Do we need to test these on some kind of children or something, don't we, before we get them into production? Anyway, before I get us in any legal trouble, I'm going to sign off and say goodbye.
Excellent. Excellent. All right, I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. Can you feel it? Can't keep a good woman down. I love that theme song so much. It's so good.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.